Blog Talk Radio.
Have you been searching for someone to fill the void in your heart? Have you been searching for someone to take all your pain away? Come see a man who died so you can have eternal life. Come meet a man that loves you more than you'll ever know. Let me introduce you to a man, a king, a savior, a provider. My friend, I introduce to you.
day to you all. It's Pastor Jay Rouse, and we're here live on the Pastor Jay Rouse Life Application Bible Study. And we want to also take this opportunity because this is our first Bible study for the new year, 2015. So we should say Happy New Year to everybody. And it's good to be back. We took a break in December because I know December is very busy for everybody. And, well, December was extremely busy for me. So this is a blessing, and I'm just glad you're all back. I'm glad to be back, and I'm full of life and purpose. Amen. And that's what we're continuing today. We are on our life series, and we're on part three of what I believe should be about six sessions in this particular series. And this one is called Purpose. We did I Am, we did He Is, and now we're going to find out our purpose today. Amen. Praise God. So I just want to welcome everybody. Get your Bibles ready. We've got lots of Bible study to do. Few verses and scriptures we're going to be going through. And this is good because it helps you all to get familiar with your Bible, and if you've been using it, then you're getting a little better at it. But if you haven't, well, this is your chance, because you'll be flipping through while I'm reading and you'll be lost, and we don't want that. So you've got to practice learning your Bible, reading your Bible, and becoming familiar with your Bible. But we shall get started momentarily. I want to take a chance to also say welcome back to everybody, and for those who are new, welcome. And I also have to give a shout-out to my mom, who's also in studio today, and thank her for her continued support and her direction, because she's an ear and a shoulder to lean on. And so I don't know how I manage without her, so I want to give thanks and a show appreciation for my mom. And also to all of you who continue to support Pastor Jay Rouse, Rouse Ministries, and all of our affiliates and everything we do. But let's get ourselves prepared. We're going to see to the Lord. But first we'll go to I Need Your Glory by Ernest Pugh, and we'll be right back in prayer.
I want your glory. Less of me and more of you is what I need. Show me your glory and show me your power. Less of me and more of you is what I need. Less of me,
less of me, and more of you is what I need.
So many times
your glory. We need him right now, so let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We lift you up. We exalt you. We magnify your holy name. And, Father, more importantly, we just say thank you. Father, as we go ahead, and we said in the word, to study to show thyself approved. And so, Father, we just ask that we can do that right now and that you would be with us. We ask right now as we open the word of God that all things will be revealed that you need us to know to continue to go forward and to do your will. Father, we ask right now that you would open our eyes and let us not be blind. Open our ears and let us hear. And Father, give us the mouth and the words to say that would be pleasing unto you. But more importantly, we ask that you would open our hearts so that we can not only seek thy word, but learn thy word, meditate on thy word, remember the word, and to live the word. And Father, I ask right now, as I prepare to go in and teach, that you would use me, for I am nothing without you. We ask right now, Father, that you would just bless us. Bless us this day. Bless us for the days to follow. And continue to guide and direct our path now. In Jesus' name, amen. So we shall now get ready for our word. This is put it on the altar. So put it all on the altar right now. Empty yourself of you so that you can be filled with him. Pastor J. Rouse, Life Application Bible Study, Life Series Number 3, and Purpose. Put it on the altar by Jessica Reedy.
Hey, let me hear you say, oh, oh, let me hear you say, oh, it's been a real hard couple of months, you had enough, but it's been hard for everyone, you're not alone, you've been hurting way too long, let it go and just move on, make your way down to the altar, hand it over and leave it there. It's gonna be alright.
It's gonna be
alright.
It's gonna be
alright.
It's gonna be
alright.
It's gonna be alright.
So everything that you've been worried about, you need him to work it out. He'll work it out, yeah. All of your burdens. You need relief. You're tired of the pressure.
Yeah.
You're tired of the stress and you need some peace. Come on and get your breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
Haven't you been suffering long enough? Make your way down to the altar. Hand it over. Leave it there. It's gonna be alright.
It's gonna be alright.
It's gonna be alright.
Everything that you've been worried about,
All right, put it on the altar. You got to put it all on there and stop worrying about it. Amen. And so right now we need to not worry about anything, but just look to the Lord and hear what thus saith the Lord through his word. And the Bible is very important because as much as we have to know the Lord and it's a personal relationship, we still have to seek out his words for his instructions, for us to continue to encourage ourselves, to encourage others, and to continue to learn and grow. Amen. All right, so as I said, we are continuing our life series of the Pastor J. Rouse Life Application Bible Studies, and this is lesson number 3, Purpose. All right, now our first thing we want to do is we're going to turn to the book of Ephesians, and we'll be turning to chapter 1 in the book of Ephesians. I'm going to give everybody some time to pull that up. And if you're having a hard time, it's in the New Testament. So you go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then you've got the book of Acts, then you've got Romans, you've got the 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Galatians, and then Ephesians. All right. And that's Ephesians 1. Now get ready, because after we're done Ephesians 1, we're going to go back one book to Galatians. And then we'll also be following up with some reading from the Corinthians. But we'll be moving around in our New Testament. Now I'm going to begin reading. And I will be reading from Ephesians 1 to verse chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. And I begin, and this is the NIV, New International Version, and it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Now this is the important part here. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption, who is a deposit guaranteeing in our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. I apologize, I reread a line. Now, for those of you who did not hear the Pastor J. Rouse New Year's sermon, this scripture was part of it. And why I started off with this today is because First of all, we had to learn who we were. We had to learn why we were made, and it was mostly because of love. To determine your purpose, you still have to start to understand the whole concept. And in Ephesians 1:11, it says, "In him we have obtained an inheritance." So we already have obtained it, and it was predestined. It says, having been predestined according to the purpose of him. So what he has given us was an inheritance, because we already learned that we were adopted into sonship. He adopted us. We are family. We are kin. We are his. And now we have been, it was predestined. He already knew what was to be done. And it says predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Whatever we do, it is for God's purpose, and it is for through God's will. It has nothing to do with what we want to do, what we would like to do, and how we want to do it. And that is important. You have to learn to give up you first. We know that when we please him, he will always do for us, and he certainly continues to look out for us and look after us, even when we may not deserve it. But what's more important to know is that when we are doing what we do, it is based on what he would have us do and why he has us doing what it is. We may not always know, but it's important that we know that it is his purpose and it is his will. All right. Our next scripture, we're going back one book, and we're going to Galatians chapter 1. I will give you some time to go ahead and go back one book to Galatians chapter 1. Amen. And this particular chapter will help us to know why. There are several things that we have to understand. The basis was through Ephesians, because we had to know the basis of why we have a purpose. And the purpose isn't our own purpose, but the purpose is his, through his will. In Galatians 1, we're going to learn why we have a purpose. All right. So now we're at Galatians 1, and I'm going to read the entire chapter of Galatians 1. Now, you have to remember, this is the Apostle Paul, and he always starts off with a greeting because he's writing to each church. And he's addressing all their needs and also sharing what he needs them to know. Now, in Galatians 1, I'll begin to read. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, he begins. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. That's important. That right there is very important. I'm going to read that again. That's in Galatians 1, verse 10, and he says, am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. My. I'll continue at 11. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went to Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of him. Now, the key things that you need to take out of this. First of all, you have to know the background of Paul, who was formerly Saul. He basically was persecuting Christians, and he said that. But what he's trying to tell the church of Galatia is that what you were taught when you got saved, not just through God, but by Jesus Christ, that is the true gospel. However, if you are listening or hearing something other than what you were taught, and you are not hearing it from God and Jesus, then it is no longer the gospel. And it's important that we know this, because there's so much preaching and so much teaching out there that sometimes it's very hard to determine what's right and what's not. If you are really secure in your teachings and in your learnings, and if you really want to know the Lord and you're growing, then you will learn discernment. We will discuss that in a later series, because everybody needs to know what discernment is. So now what he's saying is, you have to learn that if you hear anything that's not right and it's not from God and it's not from Jesus and it's not of God and it's not of Jesus, then it is not correct. But what's important is you have to understand what he's saying is you can't deal with it, you can't fight it, you can't persecute it, you can't struggle with it, you can't deal with it. Leave it to God. It says, let them be under God's curse. So that's between them and God. That's between them and our God. I would say it's between them and their God, but we already know, and we're going to learn some more about where God sits amongst all gods. Amen. And here's the other thing. Why you're doing your purpose. You also have to remember this, and this was the important line that I read. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Who are you supposed to be serving? Your purpose is to God and not to man. You are here, and you have to function with mankind, and I don't expect you to ignore everybody, but you also have to remember, stay focused on your purpose, and whose purpose it is, and who needs to get it done, because his purpose becomes your purpose, and you are the purpose. That's a lot of purpose. But it also lets you know that God is counting on you. He's relying on you. He saved you. And now he's saying part of that package means that you're supposed to go forth and do my will to serve the purpose in which I need to be completed. And so it says here, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? I'm not going to answer that. You should know that by now. He also says, or am I trying to please people? Well, come on now, folks. You know you have something to do and you don't do it because you're trying to please someone. You know you're supposed to go somewhere and you don't go because you're trying to please someone. You know there are things that you need to be about your father's business and you're not doing it because somebody else doesn't want you to do it, so you're trying to please them. And he says, if I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. You cannot serve man and serve God. Remember, there's a scripture that says, choose this day whom you will serve. And we talk about serving God or the enemy. But you also cannot serve man and Christ. You have to serve Christ, who will teach you how to serve man. Amen? Very important. Now, the next part of that is Paul called by God. He says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. He did not receive it from any man, and nor was he taught it. He received it by revelation through Jesus Christ. This is why growth in the Word of God and your spiritual walk with God is personal and necessary. Because as much as I can teach you, I cannot teach you everything because you're supposed to get most of your learning from him. My job is to teach you your basics and teach you to connect to him. And then you will seek him, not me. I'll always be here, but I'm only here for support. And then he goes into an explanation, and he talks about what he believed in and where he went, and he went here and he went there and he came here and he did this. What he's saying is whatever he was supposed to do, he did it. Whatever he was told to do, he did it. Wherever he was told to go, he went. However long he was supposed to stay, he stayed. When he was to move on, he moved on. And it's important that we remember this. He said, I was personally unknown to churches of Judea that are in Christ. Nobody knew who he was. It didn't matter. It also didn't matter that he used to persecute, because once he became aware of what he was supposed to do, then he did what he was supposed to do. You cannot do something before you are aware of what you're supposed to do. And so if you think, oh, man, I've wasted so much time, that's okay. But the key is you now know what you're supposed to do. Or you at least know that there's a purpose for you, and now you have to find out from him what your purpose is. Amen? And that's important. All right. Our next scripture that we're going to is in the book of Corinthians. Now, remember, we're still in the New Testament. Now, we're going to forward. We're going back to two of them. So there's 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, which is right before Galatians, where you are right now. We are now moving over to 1 Corinthians. So I'm going to give you time. You'll go back, and it'll go 2 Corinthians and then 1 Corinthians. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians, and we'll be reading from chapter 16. I'll give you some time to find that, and then we'll continue. So we've already gone through the basis of the purpose. We've gone why there's a purpose, and in Galatians 1 and 15 it had said, "But when he had set me apart before I was born, who called me by his grace." So God called you for a purpose. Nobody else, not man, not priest, not minister, not Pastor Jay, not Pastor Jay's mom, nobody but God set you apart before you were born, who called you by his grace. Now, the next thing we want to address for purpose is ability. How do you know you have the ability to do what you're supposed to do? And then we've got the what if. In 2 Corinthians, I'm all over the place, forgive me. We are not going to 1 Corinthians, we are going to the book of Matthew. Forgive me. Matthew chapter 5. I'm ahead of myself. Still in the New Testament, so you're still moving back. We're almost there. So you might have been at 1 Corinthians. So you want to go back to Romans, then you go back to Acts, John, Luke, Mark, and then Matthew. It's the very first book of the New Testament. Okay, I'm going to give you a few minutes to find that because of my going ahead of myself. I guess I'm just too eager. But yes, it's very important that we realize the purpose and not just the basis of the purpose, but we also have to remember why there's a purpose for our lives. And on top of that, we also need to focus on the purpose and how to maintain it. Now, in Matthew, we're going to chapter 5. I repeat, there's a correction. We're going to Matthew chapter 5. And I will be reading from verses 13 to 20. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. And I begin. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. All right. You are the salt of the earth. Now, in Matthew 13, it explains the salt of the earth. And it says, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? If you've done any cooking and you put too much salt in something, let's say you add some water to remove some of that salt and you put way too much water in there, well, you've lost all the salt. And it's saying, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. So what it's saying is, you are specifically made for a purpose to season or to, I'm trying to find the right word, to improve the world. Each and every one of us, that is part of our purpose. We are to make improvement to this earth. We are the salt of the earth. We are the seasoning. We are what makes it so special. We make it good. We add flavor to what is a dull world. Amen. But if we don't know how to be salt of the earth, then we are nothing but the ingredients of the earth and the dirt itself. And we blend in. We were not called to blend in. And as much as we want to blend in, we can't help it because of who we are. Remember our scripture from before in Galatians? Don't worry about it because you are not here to please man. You are here to please, yes, God. And it's hard. It's very, very hard. Because mankind can be tough on you and we are people pleasers, or sometimes we don't want to stick out like a sore thumb, as we think, but we are not. For us to shine in a dark world is good. If you are light and you are not shining in the world, then you are broken. Amen. There's no other way to put it. And then it says in 14 here, you are the light of the world. Town built on a hill cannot be hidden. You were set apart. Remember the scripture before? You were set apart and chosen. You have been put up on a pedestal because you are supposed to be there, not because you chose to be there. You did not choose to be who you are. God did, because he already preordained it long before you were in your mother's womb. And it's important that we remember this. You are who you are. You are supposed to serve the purpose you have been given by God. And you are to allow yourself to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. If Jesus is the light of the world, then if he's within you, it will shine through. Then it says 15, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds. And what's this last part? Very important. And glorify your Father in heaven. When you shine, God gets the glory. When you shine and you are serving God's purpose, God gets the glory. It is not about you. It is about him. It has nothing to do with you. It's all about him. Very important that we remember that. And it says we do have the ability, because he said, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything. But you are that light. You are the light of the world. He has given you that ability to shine. So he says, in the same way, let your light shine before others. It's okay. People aren't going to be pleased with you, but are we pleasing God or are we pleasing man? Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. It's tough, I know. So what we're going to deal with next now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, is the what if, because, of course, we're going to be hesitant. We have now learned the basis. We have learned why we have a purpose. We have learned that we have the ability to live out that purpose. But what if? Okay, so let's go. We're going back further again where we came from. So we are at the book of Matthew in the New Testament. So you want to keep going through your New Testament. You're going to go to Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and we're back in the Corinthians. We're going to 1 Corinthians, and we will be reading from 2 Corinthians. Amen. I'm going to give you some time, and we're in 2 Corinthians, and we're in the chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. All right, and I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 10. And I'm going to go ahead, and I hope you've reached that. Again, we're reading 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm reading from verses 1 to 10. I'll begin. I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I don't know. But God knows. Was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain. So no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I say or do, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, and this is important, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. All right. This is the what if. We are learning during our purpose. We might shine a little more than we really want to. We might be noticed a little more. And, you know, when you add salt to food and it tastes pretty good, it actually enhances the flavor. And so we might be enhancing those around us, the life around us, the world around us, just a few people around us. It could be three people, but if we shine, we make it better. But then we have that people-pleasing thing where we kind of don't want to shine and we kind of don't want to be noticed and people are upset, so we just won't do what we're supposed to do because we're afraid of what people will do. But now that we know that we are supposed to, because it's part of the purpose that God has put before us, we notice here in Paul's vision about the thorn, he's basically saying is, I could brag and I could boast. But I really can't because I can tell you wonderful stories of amazing things. But I will not brag about myself. I will brag about others. However, he says, I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. I can proudly say I am very human. I am proud to say that I can mess up. I screw up. I'm not perfect. I am far from perfect, and this is why I do the things I do, because I want people to realize that you don't put your pastor on a pedestal and you make your pastor a god. Your pastor is not God. Your pastor is a servant of God. And if they're doing what God has willed for their purpose in their lives, then they will teach you what you need to know about God and to learn for your own purpose in your life. Very important. But you'll notice he also says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Your what if is, how do I deal with things when people are mad at me or people are picking on me and I'm still doing what I'm doing and I don't really want to do what I'm doing, but I shine anyways, and God has made me to shine because he created me to shine to fulfill his purpose, but people just don't seem to get it. He says, it's okay because my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. So when you're buckling and you just can't feel like, oh my goodness, I can't handle what's going on, God, I'm only doing this for you, I'm not doing this for me. When people or hardship falls or persecution and difficulties, as it says, and insults, yes, insults, it's in the Bible. So it looks like people have been picking on people from the beginning of time. They've been bullying folk, especially Christians, and especially those who shine from the beginning of time. Amen? So this is nothing new. But he reminds them that his grace is sufficient, and his power is made perfect when you are feeling weak. And it says, that is why, for Christ's sake, repeat, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong, because God is at his strongest point in your life when you are at your weakest. Amen? Amen. All right, let's keep moving along. We're almost done. Now we have to find out the determination of fulfilling our purpose. Amen. We're going to Isaiah. We're going to Isaiah chapter 46. I'll give you some time to find that. Let me explain it where it is. For those of you, you've got to get more familiar. Now, Isaiah is in the Old Testament, okay? So if you're going back, it's quite a ways to go back. So you're going to go back, Malachi, Zechariah, Haggai, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, Nahum, Micah, Jonah, Obadiah, Amos, Joel, Hosea. Those are all the minor prophets. And then you get to another major prophet, and this is my favorite, Daniel. And then there's Ezekiel, Lamentations, Jeremiah, as the song says, was a bullfrog. But no, and he was a good friend of mine. That's only in the song, but this is a different Jeremiah. And then you've got Isaiah, and it comes after the Song of Solomon and before Jeremiah, okay? And we're going to be reading from Isaiah chapter 46, and I'm going to read from verses 8-10. I repeat, I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 46, verses 8-10, to the end, sorry. Yes, from 8 to the end. It says, remember this. Keep in mind, take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose still stand and will do all that I please. For the east I summon a bird of prey from a far-off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said that I will bring about, what I have planned that I will do. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, you who are now far from my righteousness. I am bringing my righteousness near. It is not far away, and my salvation will not be delayed. I will grant salvation to Zion, my splendor to Israel. And as we read through Isaiah 46 and 8 to the end, you'll notice the determination of God. This is the same determination God wants you to have. He reminds us and he says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done. My counsel shall stand. I will accomplish all my purpose. He is determined. And he will get it done. Says, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. And he said, from the east I summon a bird of prey from a far-off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. For what I have said that I will bring about, what I have planned, that I will do. And in the end, he says, I am bringing my righteousness near. It is not far away, and my salvation will not be delayed. I will grant salvation to Zion. He is determined, and he will find those who will serve his purpose. If you want to serve your purpose, then you will seek God, find your purpose, and you will recognize what you need to do, why you need to do it, how you can do it, you have the ability to do it, and you know that you can withstand anything because his grace is sufficient, and more importantly, have the determination that he would put entrusted in you to go forth and do what he needs done. And so we'll conclude in the next one of Isaiah 55, just a couple away from Isaiah 46. And it reads, come all ye who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and a commander of the peoples. Surely, you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God. The Holy One is Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Important, I'll read that again. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of the briars and the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. So what we learn in Isaiah, and especially reading from number 8, Isaiah 55 and verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We will not understand. We read in one of the earlier scriptures that there were some questions, and he said, I don't know, but God knows. Twice, he said, I don't know, but God knows. God knows things we don't know, because his thoughts are not ours, and his ways are not ours. But he makes sure that whatever he needs done to continue to allow us to exist, such as the rain and the snow coming down from the heavens and not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. God has a purpose when he created everything. He had a purpose for everything that happens. And we have yet, even through scientific measures, have yet to still fully comprehend all the magnitude and the glory of what is God. But he said, it will not return to me empty. So is the word that goes out from my mouth. His words will be your words. And he has assured you, it will not return back void. Says, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. I say that again. It will not return void if your words are his words. And it will accomplish what he desires. And it will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. I hope that this has been opening to you and has been uplifting and certainly help you to learn and grow. But we'll be right back. But this is Before I Die by Kirk Franklin, and we'll be right back with some more.
Come on. Brothers and sisters, I'm feeling real good because it ain't over. Right before I die, I gotta
live out my dreams.
Before I die, gotta
love my enemies.
Ooh.
Forgive the past, set back and breathe. So I can breathe, breathe up the things. Every blessing God has for me, he is for me, not just for you.
Ow.
I had to learn what I've been through. I can't go through that way again. Be hurt by you that way again. It's not the end.
Then no.
I used to be afraid to die. I used to be afraid to try.
Used to be afraid.
I was too afraid to know me.
Page, so you check us out, Pastor J. Rouse on Facebook, but we posted, and it's totally wrapped up in a summation of where our study went tonight for purpose, and it says, only God can bring peace to your past, purpose to your present, and hope to your future. It brings peace because it doesn't matter who you used to be. It doesn't matter what you were 2 minutes ago. And purpose, because your purpose begins right now. Remember, as soon as you become aware of your purpose is when it begins. And your purpose is your present. And hope, because of your purpose and serving your purpose, brings a great deal of hope to your future. Amen. Thank you for joining us again on the Pastor J. Rouse Bible, Life Application Bible Study. And remember, you have a purpose. Join us again third Sunday of next month, which I believe is the 15th of February. And we're going to continue the life series, because now that you know who you are, why you were created, you know your purpose, next week we're going to learn boldness. Next month we're going to learn boldness, because we have to learn how to overcome some of the things that we're going to endure and come across to continue to push through our purpose. And then the end of our series will be very important, something you definitely want to stay tuned to, and talks about being gifted, because it will help to recognize some of what you need for your own personal purpose. And again, we encourage everyone to share the lesson. We encourage you to read the scripture lessons. We encourage you to pray to God for continued direction. And we encourage you to contact us if you have any questions, need prayer, and have any thoughts or testimonies you'd like to share. Again, you can contact us on Facebook, Pastor J. Rouse. You can contact us on Twitter, Pastor J. Rouse, also Rouse Ministries on Twitter. And you can also contact us by email, pastorjrouse@gmail.com. So right now we want to leave you with some wonderful music before you go. As you grow and learn and get stronger in your purpose, join us in a month on the 15th of February when we learn boldness so we can continue to press forward in our purpose with God. But right now, this is The Name by Mally Music, followed by our theme that we've been using for the entire month of December and for the new year, This Is My Season. And that's by William Murphy. You need to listen, because the words are very powerful for both songs. and we're glad that you were able to join us. We look forward to speaking with you again. And until then, we're going to continue to pray for you, pray for us, and God bless you and God be with you till we meet again.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Okay, I've always heard the name, y'all. The old folks tried to warn me. I thought I knew what they were talking about, because I've always heard the story, but never felt it for myself, y'all. Well, until just the other day, when something happens in my spirit, every time I say that name is Jesus. Yeah, Jesus, 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 say the name. Like it'll never lose its power. I hear the people say they need the Lord every minute, every hour. But I never felt it for myself, y'all. Well, until just the other night, I called the name of Jesus, and afterwards I felt alright. Yeah, it was like a cool breeze blowing on the inside of water, rushing in my body, a fire burning away everything that I don't need to make it be right. It was too real to act like it wasn't happening. Happened too fast for me to suppress it. And after that I tried my eyes and I couldn't stop smiling, cause the whole time mother was right. When I called Jesus, yeah, and I might fall down, he'll be your friend, he'll be around. Whoa, he's something like a strong tower. Yeah, he could take away the pain. And if you want his power, you gotta call his name. And his name is Jesus.
Oh, Jesus,
Jesus. That name is Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus,
Jesus,
Jesus.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. You can depend on him. Yes, you can.
Getting better.